We'd like to conduct a furtive encephaloscan to determine just how calm Seth truly is.
And you want us to distract him? Han finished.
Would you mind?
Silgol asked.
We can't establish a baseline stress pattern unless we keep his attention focused elsewhere. And you're the best con artists in the temple.
On Coruscant,
Han corrected, a bit too proudly. He hitched a thumb towards C-3PO.
But Goldenrod here isn't gonna be much help tricking anyone. Why'd you want him along?
Natua has been hissing as she works,
Tekla explained.
I'm beginning to think she's talking to herself.
That's entirely possible. The phonetics of many reptilian languages have sibilant root patterns. I'd be happy to assist you in identifying the language if you wish.
A translation would be much more useful,
Tekla said.
It might be helpful to know what she's saying.
C-3PO is entirely at your disposal, Leia said to Silgol. As are Han and I. Silgol thanked them and led the way to the asylum block. Tekla disappeared into the control room to retrieve a pair of stun sticks for the Solos and a tranquilizer pistol for Silgol, then announced she would join them with the encephaloscanner once Seth was distracted. Leia and Han secured the stun sticks in the small of their backs, under their belts, then followed Silgol to a turbo lift and ascended to the second-story catwalk. The cells arrayed along the catwalk were clearly designed to confine rather than punish, for they were furnished with flow-form couches, holographic entertainment centers, and privacy-screened refreshers. Judging by the muffled screel of fingernails coming through the second door, the distinction of purpose was no comfort to Natua Wan. The first door stood open. Inside the cell, a tall, powerful-looking human Jedi sat meditating, with an upturned palm resting on one knee and a wrist stump on the other. On the floor beside him rested an artificial hand, palm up, with the thumb and middle finger touching. Dozens of surgeries and skin grafts had repaired his burn scars to the point where his face looked merely plastic instead of horrific. But his ears remained flat and misshapen, and the bristly texture of his short blonde hair betrayed its synthetic origins. As the group approached his door, the Jedi's blue eyes popped open, fixing first on Leia, then Han.
Princess Leia, Captain Solo,
he said.
It's nice to see you again.
You too, Raynar,
Han said.
You doing okay in there?
Very well,
Raynar said.
Thank you.
A sad reminder of the price young Jedi too often paid for their service to the galaxy, Raynar Thal had gone missing on the same strike mission that had claimed the life of the Solo's youngest son, Anakin. Years later, Raynar had reappeared as Unu Thul, the badly disfigured, insane joiner who was leading the Killik colony's expansion into the Chiss territories. Fortunately, Raynar had not proven too powerful to capture alive, and he had been residing in the asylum block for more than 7 years, while Silgol helped him put his mind back together. Had Natasi Dalla been the Galactic Alliance Chief of State at the time, Raynar would probably have been frozen in carbonite and hung up in the nearest detention center, just as Valen and Gisela Horn had been when they fell ill. And that thought made Leia about as angry as a wampa in a sauna. Anyone whose mind came undone because of what they had suffered for the Alliance deserved to be nurtured back to health, not labeled a danger to society and treated like wall art. Leia stopped at the entrance to Raynar's cell.
Hello, Raynar. Silgol has told us how much progress you've made.
Actually, the Mon Calamari had told the Solos that all that remained was for Raynar to realize he was recovered.
Is there anything you need?
No, I'm free to visit the commissary myself,
Raynar said. He glanced toward the adjacent cell, where Natua was still scratching at her door, then grinned a bit mischievously.
Unless you care to do something about all that racket, it's enough to drive a man crazy.
No problem,
Han said, reaching for the control pad on the exterior of the cell.
It'll be quieter if we close this.
On second thought,
Raynar interrupted.
I may be growing fond of the noise.
Han smirked.
I thought that might fix your problem.
You should apply for therapist credentials, dear,
Leia said dryly. She turned to Raynar.
But seriously, Raynar, if the noise bothers you, why don't you just change your quarters?
Raynar's eyes widened as much as his rigid brows would allow.
Leave my cell?
The door has been open for quite some time, Silgall said. And if matters continue to deteriorate with the younger Jedi, we may be needing your room.
There are plenty of empty quarters up on the dormitory level,
Han prompted. Raynar retrieved his artificial hand, then rose and stepped toward the door.
Would I be welcome?
That depends, Han said with a smirk. Are you going to do your own chores?
The days when I considered myself above doing chores are long past, Captain Solo.
Raynar's tone was more distracted than indignant, as though he was so consumed in the thought that he had failed to notice Han was joking. He stood at the door, considering his options, then shrugged and began to reattach his artificial hand.
I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if they're ready.
Leia started to suggest there was only one way to find out, but before she could speak, Raynar started toward the interior of his cell. Silgall shook her head in disappointment. Han sighed, and Leia bit her lip in frustration.
Relax, Raynar called over his shoulder. I'm just going to pack. I have been here a while, you know.